We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
In Hebrews chapter 11, as we all know, the faith chapter. All you Bible students are very familiar with that chapter. And here in chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance, or another word for substance is assurance. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. Now, those two words right there at the end is what I want you to see, not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, I want to preach by the help of the Lord on those two words that I pointed out there to you. Just keep your Bibles open and turn to some other scripture with us during the message. But if I would take those two words, not seen, and I would talk about or take a text this morning on unseen resources. Unseen resources. We Christians, we should rely on God's unseen, eternal resources. God's unseen provision. God's unseen protection. And God's unseen presence. That's what that we want to talk about here. Use two or three people from the Bible to prove or to clarify the thought that we have here this morning. And so the first one that I want to talk about, the first character out of the Bible that I want to talk about here on these unseen resources is Hagar. Sarah's Egyptian servant girl, and Sarah gave her to be Abraham's wife, and then after she gave her to be Abraham's wife, she hated her, and so Sarah and Abraham, they doubted that God would give them a child in Sarah's old age, so they both agreed to help God keep his promise. Could I say this morning, God don't need us to help him to keep his promise. He'll do just exactly what he promised us that he'd do. So they thought they would help God to keep the promise of a son and an heir by having Abraham to take the slave girl Hagar as a wife. And so there is a small wonder that when the Egyptian girl conceived a child in Genesis chapter 16 and verse 4, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarah made the life of this servant girl miserable to Abraham's great distress. Later, Abraham was instructed to hearken to Sarah and to send this defenseless woman and her child out into the wilderness. And the poor mother went away with a bottle of water and some bread. And when the water was gone, she laid her child down to die. And she hid her face from his suffering and his tears. And here was a mother's anguish. But God had not forgotten. I like that. God had not forgotten. If you'll look in Genesis chapter 21 and verse 16 through 19. And she went and set her down, talking about Hagar, over against him a good way off, as it were the bow shot. For she said, let not this see the death of the child. And she sat over against him, lift up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the land. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw, now look at this, she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. The first thing I want you to see here is the unseen whale. Near at hand, where that she thought they were going to perish because of thirst. But here, near at hand, was a bountiful whale. Expecting that she and her son would die of thirst, Hagar had not seen the whale that God had provided for her. So it is with all of us. Every one of us here as the children of God, day by day. God's loving kindness and providential care is all about us. Unseen and unrecognized, unappreciated, and often unclaimed. A child of God has unseen provisions for all of our needs. All around us, every day, God has just exactly what that we stand in need of. And so He only lacks having His eyes open that we might see. And did you suppose that God had instructed Abraham to hearken to Sarah and to send the slave girl, a wife with the baby that belonged to her, and him away into the wilderness to die? You think that was God's intent for her to go there and to die? Would God not leave them to suffer with no thought and no care about their needs? Does God not care about a mother's anguish? Absolutely so. You hear as a mother and you're troubled over your children. I want you to know God cares about you. God cares about the anguish that you have about maybe a sick child or a wayward child or something that has broken your heart. I want you to know, does He not care about a baby's cry? Yes, He does. He cares when the little ones are sick and when the little ones has needs. He hears. The Bible said that He heard the cry. He heard the cry of the lad. And so I want you to know, does God care? And God provide. Verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, "What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear thou not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is." And God heard the voice of the lad. The dear Lord heard, here had a tender heart, and He cared more for the thirsty boy than probably even his mother did. God heard. That is what I want you to see here this morning. That God hears and answers prayers. God hears us when we cry out to Him. God is a God that has ears that can hear. And so it's shameful and it's a wicked trait of human beings, even of Christians, that we do not constantly recognize and praise the bountiful mercies of God. And so He causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, does He not? How merciful that He is to us. Gives air to breathe throughout all of us, whether saved or unsaved. He provides for us. He keeps our heart beating. He pours out upon us from the horn of plenty 1,000 mercies every day. The psalmist reminds us to praise Him in Psalm 68:19, who daily loadeth us with benefits. Man, oh, feels so independent, so that he thinks he does not need God. And we understand that's the culture in which we're living in today. Man, as a majority today, feels like that they don't need God. But I want you to know I need God every day. I need Him every hour. I need Him every second. We all need Him. Then in their failure and they want, man naturally feels that there's no hope. Since God heard the voice of little Ishmael, then why should He not hear ours? If God heard Ishmael, that little lad, why would you think that when you cry out to God that He wouldn't hear you? Do you fear that there will not be bread for tomorrow? There may be people sitting right here today. You're afraid that you're not going to have enough money to even to buy groceries to feed your family. Do you fear that? Do you fear that your little ones, your children, that you're not even going to have the money even to buy them a warm coat to wear in the wintertime? Are you afraid that you're not even going to have the money to purchase them clothing and those kind of things? So I want to say to you, then you need your eyes open so that you may see the unseen well, the unseen provision of a loving God for His people. Jesus taught us a lesson from the spire. The bird, not even one of these little tiny birds, falls to the ground unless the Father notices. Matthew 10:29. He taught us a lesson from the flowers. In Matthew 6:28-29, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? One of the shocking sins that we commit as Christians is that we believe that God does not care. What a horrible sin that is. For us to ever get to a place in our life where that we feel like nobody cares, even God don't care. God don't care about my situation. God don't care about the dire needs that I'm in. And so we don't see to tomorrow's bread. We can't see that when we get there tomorrow, we may not have the funds and we may not have the resources, but when we get there tomorrow, if we're God's children and we put Him first, the bread's going to be there for us. We just can't see that. We just don't understand that. Or even the help that we need today. So we as Christian, we doubt and we shame God and we disgrace our profession as His children when we doubt and we don't believe God. God always has a well when it's needed, whether or not we see it. And I want you to know, sometimes you think it will, but I want you to know that His well will never arrive too late. It'll always be just right on time. God will reveal His plan just in time. As He opened the eyes of Hagar and provided the water in the wilderness, so in a world where we're sojourning strangers, you and I as Christians, God has wells on every side, and He will show them to our blinded eyes when the time comes, if we'll just let Him. I'm saying, as you sojourn as a child of God through this world, and you put God first in your life, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I promise you, upon the authority of the Word of God, that when you get to the place that you have a need, God will have an unseen well there. For you. He'll never fail. David said, I was young and now I'm old. And I never seen his seed begging bread. Never seen them forsaken. Then I want you to see here the unseen sacrifice. When Abraham was called to offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering on a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, he faithfully intended to carry out this command of God. When the wood was laid on the altar, Isaac was bound, and Abraham raised a knife to slay his son with a broken heart. Yet he believed God, because believing that God would raise his son from the dead. When the angel told Abraham to stay his hand, the Bible said Abraham looked about him, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horn. Abraham was willing to offer his son. And each of us should be willing. Every one of us, as the children of God, should be willing to give the dearest and the best that we have in this world at the command of God. If God, we shouldn't possess anything that we wouldn't be willing to give to Him if He asked for it. We ought to be willing to give whatever He would call for. Call for the dearest thing to Abraham's heart was his son. God knew what Abraham would do. God never asks us too much. The Bible says His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Many a times when we believe that we face the loss of everything life holds dear, then God has a substitute unseen gift at hand. Listen to this preacher. How many times in my hour of need have I turned around And lo, there caught in the thicket is the answer for my need. How many times have you been like that? How many times have you, in your deepest needs, saw a lamb caught in the thicket just to supply your needs? It was good that Abraham did not worry before about the sacrifice. Isaac had asked him on the way, he said, "My father," look in Genesis 22:7. He said, "My father, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham wisely said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." What a world of meaning in that reply that Abraham gave to his son. In Genesis 27 says that Abraham was a prophet. These words of Abraham was a prophecy from God. And these words has a triple meaning. I believe when he said that my God shall supply himself a lamb for a burnt offering, first of all, I believe that this meant that God would in some way provide a substitute for Isaac. Abraham expected to come back down that mountain with his boy. He expected to come back down that mountain and go to 3 days' journey with his son by his side. Some way, he didn't know how, he expected God to raise Isaac from the dead and provide himself a sacrifice on the smoking altar. And the second meaning, and a greater meaning, I think, is of Abraham was that ram caught in the thicket by his horn was a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wood stands for evil works. Since the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:12 that the works of Christians, which are classified as wood, those that you do for yourself, those that you do to get honor and glory for yourself, those that you do to get a pat on the back, those that you do that you can boast about and all those kind of things. Those works, the Bible says, the day of judgment are wood, hay, and stubble, and they'd be burned up. Just those that you do for the glory of God. Those are silver and gold and precious stone that'll stain. So the wood stands for the evil works. The ram caught in the thicket is a picture of Jesus Christ, our substitute, bound for us by our sin and laid on the altar in our stead. Truly, God has presided himself a lamb for the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, John the Baptist cried out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." God provided himself a lamb. Jesus said in John 8:56, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The third meaning, I think, of the ram caught in the thicket must be that God always provides the lamb that is needed for the sacrifice. God always provides the lamb that is needed for the sacrifice. Listen, God never sleeps. The Bible says the God of Israel who never sleeps nor slumbers. Not only that, he never forgets. He never forgets you. He never forgets your state, your circumstances, your needs. He's not absent-minded. God never forgets. He never's too poor to provide whatever it is that you need. He's never indifferent to you. The Bible says when we trust God, God always provides the things that we need just in time. Now listen, why do we always? We're all humans, and so I assume that it's this way with me, so I assume it's this way with you. Why do we always seek to have provisions made ahead of time? Why is it that we think that we have to have everything that we need ahead of time? Oh God, it'd be a whole lot easier. It'd be a whole lot less stressful, Lord, if tomorrow or next week when I have to pay the light bill, that the money would already be in the bank. Stressful, have to wait and don't know where it's coming from. Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to have always have provision made ahead. Abraham did not look for the ram until it was time. And God provided it. Abraham didn't go up that mountain looking for a ram. He went ahead and did just exactly what God said. He laid Isaac upon the altar, pulled back his hand to slay him and the angels. God did not provide the lamb until the lamb or the ram was needed. So let us be content, every one of us, with such things as we have. 1 Timothy 6:8 says, "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content." Jesus also told us in Matthew 6:34, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Jesus also taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." God, provide the bread that I need today. We'll worry about tomorrow if tomorrow comes. Tomorrow may never come. Just give me what I need today. That's how the Lord taught us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our day by day our daily bread. One day at a time is enough for a child of God who has a wise Heavenly Father who revealed the whale in the wilderness to Hagar. He showed the ram caught in the bushes to Abraham. And I want to praise His dear name this morning. God provides a sacrifice just in time for His children that trust Him. So let us rely upon the unseen resources of God. The third thing I want you to see is the unseen God. When Jacob went away from home to escape the murderous wrath of his brother Esau, he stopped that night at Bethel and slept, the Bible said there, with his head pillowed upon a stone. And that night Jacob had a dream. Behold, a ladder ascending up to heaven. Angels were ascending and descending. And God appeared and promised to bless Jacob with the blessings of Abraham and Isaac. The Bible says in Genesis 28, he awoke deeply moved and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place. It's in this place, and I knew it not." The unseen God. The unseen God. There he made his vow to serve the true and the living God. There he made his vow to tithe his increase. There he committed his career into the hands of God the Father. "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." It should be a cry of every Christian. Oh, that our eyes were open, that we could see every day the place where we are. God is there too. How about that? I don't know where I'm going tomorrow, but I do know this. Wherever I go, God's going to be there with me. Wherever you go, God's going to be there. The unseen God. He says, "Surely God was in this place and I knew it not." That's how we are sometimes. We're at a place and we get scared and all those kind of things. And we feel like we're all alone. And we forget that God is right there with you. There's no place that you can ever go as a Christian that He's not present with you. He's always there. The Bible says. And that should be our cry. We were but tuned in to hear the voice of God. Many a time we could hear Him say, as He said to Moses, "Put off your shoes, for the ground that you stand upon is holy ground." God was with Jacob. Later, in thanking God for His mercy, Jacob said, "For with my staff I passed over the Jordan, and now I'm become two bands." What he should have said was, "With my staff and with God, I crossed or I passed over Jordan." Jacob, this poor, scheming young man who had stolen his brother's birthright, deceived his father, yet he loved and believed God. And the Bible said, and had more with him than his walking stick. He had the presence of God. May God grant us, every one of us here, that our eyes would be open to see our unseen riches. Oh, the riches that are all around us that we don't see that God has for us. If you have God, let me say this. If you have God this morning, you are not poor. If you have Him. I don't care what the bank account says. You have God, you're not poor. Listen to what I'm saying. We are to cry out, the eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Remember the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do in me. If you have God this morning, I think I've already heard this said here this morning. If you have God, you have all you need. Jesus is all you need. You find in him everything that you need. In his own way, in his own time, he will provide. The fourth thing I want you to see is, I want you to see the unrecognized Christ. Two downcast disciples walk one day from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It was 3 days after Jesus had been crucified, and the sadness and the awful event hung like a cloud over them. Sorrow was written on their face. Their countenance was so sad. They talked among themselves on their journey of what had happened. And then all of a sudden, a third person appears. Thank God. A third person came alongside. They told him how their faith had fled away when Jesus had died. They said they'd heard a woman say that Jesus was alive, but they didn't believe it. The stranger, with words that made their hearts burn, the stranger said, if you look in the Word of God, did our hearts burn within us? As we walked along, he talked. Told them how foolish they had been. This third one, this stranger, showed them from the law and of Moses and from the Psalms and from the prophets that Jesus had to die. It was required that he die, and that he must rise again. The stranger made clear to them the purpose of the crucifixion. The glory, the cry of glory of the resurrection. Their minds and their hearts were open to understand the Scripture. The Bible says in Luke 24, their faith revived and their hearts grew happy when they came to that little village of Emmaus. These two invited the stranger. Maybe I might say rather invite, sort of strongly urged him to come in and break bread with them. And when this one gave thanks for the bread, the Bible says once he did that, these two, their eyes were open and they knew it was Jesus. Once before, we were told their eyes were open, that they should not know him. Now it says their eyes were open and they knew him. The unrecognized Christ, he walks with you, Christian friends. You may not recognize him, but I want you to know that Jesus walks with you as a child of God. Down every sad pathway that you have to walk in life. He's walking with you.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.